welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, radio westerns, some classics as well. Later on, we hear Gunsmoke from 1954. But right now, it's Dr. Six Gun, a short-lived series written by two NBC staff writers whose work was showcased mainly on X-1, which would be in the following year of this broadcast, from October 21st, 1954. This story, penned by Ernest Canoy and George Lefferts, marking program number 8 for Dr. Six Gun.
Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. Exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
I am Pablo, and take my word for it, I am a man as well known in the territory as the cavalry troops from Fort Dodge. And between you and me, there are trails in the territory that Pablo travels that the cavalry rides on tiptoe, whistling to keep their spirits up. For I am a peddler, and a peddler is always welcome. That is midnight, a raven. A very wise bird.
Sky.
Very wise. With wisdom he has learned from me.
It's sky. Oh, my. Straight right.
See? A veritable sage. There is perhaps only one wiser in the territory. My friend, Doc Six Gun. But then, he cannot fly, so who is to judge? And that is an interesting question. Who is to George? For it is my story. It started as I rode the trail into Frenchman's Ford. At the Table Rock Fork, I met a young man, and we rode together. A cheerful young man with a pinto cow pony, with a fancy stock saddle all covered with silver and carvings.
I ride an old thing, I lead an old thing, bound a mountain for to throw the land. They feed in the coulees, they water in the draw. Their tails are all matted, their backs are all raw.
Right around you, little doggies, right around them slow. The fiery and snuffy are raring to go.
Bravo, bravo. We make a fine duet, eh?
Well, you ain't a bad singer at all.
Bad? My friend, I have sung before the crowned heads of Europe.
Well, I've sung before some crowned heads myself.
You?
Sure, crowned with long horns anyways.
Oh, cantaloupe.
Well, let me tell you, it ain't easy keeping a herd of spooky beef quiet in a thunderstorm, just singing.
That would indeed be an audience of critics.
You're a peddler, huh? I could tell by your pack.
And you are a cowboy. I can tell by many things.
Well, you should see me walking. You know right enough.
You are also a humorist.
Well, anyways, I'm Fred Garth.
And I am Pablo.
Midnight.
And this is my old friend, Midnight. Are you riding to Frenchman's Ford?
Yeah, been a week riding.
Oh, I thought I knew every vaquero in the territory.
I've been punching down in Texas recent. I come back to... Well, anyway, I'm back.
You have business in Frenchman's Ford?
Yeah.
Important?
Well, I've been planning this certain business since I was down in the panhandle.
Oh, you left Frenchman's Ford in a hurry?
Yeah, you might say about two jumps ahead of three fellers carrying 30-30 rifles. I shot a man.
Oh?
Oh, it was a fair fight, right enough. It was payday, and I guess he was a little drunker than me. Leastwise, he emptied a six gun at me and didn't hit nothing. I hit something.
Oh.
Just my bad luck. He had two brothers, so I cut and run.
A man of discretion. The atmosphere has cleared in Frenchman's Ford?
Yeah. The two of them took off for the Oregon Territory.
Oh, I see.
And like I say, I got a job to do on the Ford.
Well, perhaps we will see each other in town, eh? And celebrate your return.
Maybe. It's been 3 years. I wonder what folks in town are likely to say when they find out that I'm back.
I sold Fred Garth a red bandana, and I parted company with him at the edge of town. And he rode off on his pinto pony, singing a happy song about a dying cowboy or an aged horse or something of the sort. A very peaceful song. About 11 o'clock at night in Frenchman's Ford, it was not so peaceful.
On your boots and
I'm
come right...
dressed. I just got in.
Well, come on.
Now, hold on, Benton. Where are you dragging me?
You've got to come, quick.
What is the matter, Doc?
I don't know, Bantlow. Come on now, Benton. Give me a straight story.
They got him.
Who?
The fella that shot Arnie Harrison tonight in that express office holdup.
I just got in from the Arroyo Grande. What's this all about?
A fella come riding into town about 11 and pulled a gun on Arnie at the express office, got away with $4,000, then he shot Arnie down in the street when he rode off. Come on, Doc. You got to get down to the jail.
What for?
We found the fella. Only he got just a little shot. You got to fix him up.
Pablo, get my bag and meet me down at the jail.
Pronto, Doc.
We don't want him to bleed to death before he gets a chance to get tried and hung.
All right, let me through.
Where's the Doc?
Hello. Jared?
Hi, Doc. Sorry to put you out of bed.
You didn't. Where is he?
Back in the cells. Come on now, you boys. Clear out now.
Back here?
The other one. That's old Harry sleeping it off in that one.
Locked.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doc. Be right there.
Let me through. Doc! Doc!
In here, Pablo.
I have your bag.
Let me into him, Jared.
Yeah, sure. His name's Fred Garth. All right, you. Here's Doc.
It's the use of bringing him. Not going to last long.
We like healthy corpses at the end of our ropes. Fix him up, Doc.
It's him.
Hmm? You know this hombre?
A little. I rode with him a few hours.
Hello, peddler.
All right, son. Where'd you get it? Shoulder?
My arm.
Mm-hmm. Pablo, cut off his shirt.
What a pity. A very beautiful shirt.
Yeah. I won it in Laredo in a Faro game. Always was lucky.
Well, this is going to hurt.
Thanks.
Flesh wound.
Yeah, that's good. Hey! Hey, boys! He's gonna be all right. Now go on home till tomorrow. Go on!
Hold on now. All right. Pablo, the bandage.
Right here.
You just keep this clean and no gangrene will set in.
He won't have long to worry about gangrene.
This is the one that held up the express office?
Yeah. And shot Arnie. Nice old feller, too. Played checkers with him.
How'd you get this man?
Out in Mesa Verde.
You sure he did it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he wore a mask, a bright red bandana, but his horse was recognized, and that fancy stock saddle of his. And anyways, we found the mail pouch from the express office in his saddlebag.
Well, that does it. How's it feel?
Lousy.
Well, 45 slug isn't exactly a bee sting.
Thanks, Doc.
All right. I'll be over in the morning to look at it.
I'll be around.
I suppose so. All right, Jared.
Okay, Doc.
Doc, I do not understand it. I rode with him yesterday afternoon. He sang like a bird. Such a man does not kill anybody.
Yeah? He did once before. 4 years ago in the big parlor at the Silver Eagle.
He told me. He said it was safe for him now to come back to Frenchman's Ford. Mr. Jared, are you sure? He was so happy, so light-hearted. He bought a bright bandana from me.
A red bandana?
Well, yes.
Like this one?
Yes. That is the one I sold.
Yeah. Well, we picked it up where the killer dropped it riding out of town. Oh, it's him, all right.
What does he have to say?
Nothing. But he doesn't have to.
You figuring on any trouble, Jared?
Trouble, Doc? No. The boys all went home. Circuit judge is due in tomorrow night. He runs a nice, quick murder trial. There won't be no trouble. Well, good night, Doc. Good
night, Jared.
Hey, you in there? I'll bring you some coffee in a couple hours.
I do not understand it, Doc. A peddler is a great judge of character. I will stake my life on it. I would go further. I would bet cash that that young man did not do these things.
Well, it sure doesn't look good for him.
But believe me, Doc, he was so cheerful. He told me how anxious he was to get back to Frenchman's Ford. He said that there was some business that he had to... No, I still don't believe it.
Well, something about it bothers me, too. You know, I've seen a lot of men face the rope. And tough or not, they're fighting for their lives somehow. This boy just gives up. Something... Wait a minute.
What is it?
Someone in the shadows. Who's there?
I'm sorry. Dr. Sixgun?
Yes?
You just come from the jail, didn't you?
Why, yes, I did.
You saw him. Is he hurt bad?
You're Al Wheelock's daughter, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Kathy?
No, that's my older sister. I'm Jenny. Did you see him? Is he all right?
It was just a flesh wound. He'll be all right.
Oh. Will they hang him?
The territorial judge comes in tomorrow night. There'll be a trial.
But they'll hang him, won't they? There isn't any chance.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
I told him not to come back. I told him. Oh, Fred.
Now, take it easy, Jenny.
Can you help him, Doc? Everybody says you're fair. You won't let them hang him, will you?
I don't know what I can do about it.
Oh, I suppose not. Well, I won't bother you no more.
Wait a minute. Jenny, why are you so interested in Fred Garth?
I was going to marry him. That's why he came back to town.
Doc, I told you, that was a man riding to a girl, not to a murder.
I wrote him not to come back. I said I'd go to Laredo or anywhere. But he wanted to come for me here. He wanted everybody in town to know about us. I only saw him for a few minutes yesterday. Doc, they can't hang him. They can't.
Jenny, a man was killed.
But Fred didn't do it, Doc. I know he didn't. I love him.
I'm afraid that won't hold as evidence in Judge Passman's court.
Oh, Doc, will you help him? Nobody else in town will. He didn't do it. I know he didn't.
Well, if he's innocent...
Please, Doc.
Look, I'll ask around, Jenny, and see what I can find out.
Oh, thank you, Doc. Thank you. Do you think... My father would just kill me, but do you think I could see him?
Why don't you ask Frank Jarrett?
Would Mr. Jarrett let me?
Tell him I sent you. That might help.
Oh, thank you, Doc. Thank you. Oh, please help, Fred. Please.
Well, Pablo?
Well?
If he's innocent, they won't...
Doc, you know better. When Judge Passman holds court, President Grant himself couldn't get acquitted.
Can't get to close up that bar while I'm holding court.
But, Jerry!
There'll be no whiskey competing while I'm dispensing justice. All right, now. The prisoner has the right to a lawyer. None of the learned gentlemen traveling the circuit with the court care to volunteer, so we cut cards. The low man was Mr. Harris, who now appears for the defendant. Incidentally, Mr. Harris lost $15 at five-card stud in the same session.
You see what I mean, Doc? Fred Garth has no more chance than a rabbit in a bear trap.
We just got to wait, Pablo.
A prisoner will approach the bar. The bar of justice, that is, the other one being temporarily suspended.
Here he is, Judge Passman.
You heard the charge against you. How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Does it matter?
Not to me, but we've got to go through the motions. Clerk, enter a plea of not guilty.
Now, listen,
all you hungover saddle tramps. I want no muttering in my court.
Any man I ever hanged could complain afterwards he didn't get a fair trial. All right, call the first witness. Prisoner, rise and face the jury. Frederick Garth, you've been tried and found guilty of murder in the first degree. I now pronounce sentence upon you. You shall be taken from here to a place of detention, from thence to a place of execution on... let me see, today's Monday. On Friday, the 24th of July.
What are we going to wait for Friday for? We ain't got nothing else to do today.
He's got a right to appeal to the territorial governor. It's the law. Oh, where was I? Oh, and then hang by the neck until dead. May heaven have mercy on your soul. All right, Herman, you can open up the bar.
Jenny. Honey, please. Doc, take her away.
Brad, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you tell him you didn't do it?
Doc, please. Come on, Jenny. Come on, let go of the bars.
Brad!
Pablo, come on, Miss Jenny. Come with me. I'll take you home now.
No. I want to stay with him.
Oh, but it will not help him to see you cry. At least come with me. I have a mirror in my back. You can make yourself beautiful.
Me?
Well, it is the kindest thing you can do. Now, you come with me. That's all.
I'll be back, Fred.
Jared, don't let her in here again.
I was trying to do you a favor, Garth.
Well, thanks. I've had enough favors.
Jared, let me in with him.
Well, now, I don't know, Doc.
Oh, come on. If I'm going to have to pronounce him dead after the hanging, I got a right to talk to him alive.
Well, I don't suppose it'd hurt.
Thanks.
I'll have to lock you in with him. Just call her when you want up, Doc.
All right. Now, Fred.
What are you hanging around me for, Doc?
I'm not so sure you're guilty.
But you heard the trial.
I didn't hear much defense for you.
Mr. Harris had a hard night playing stud.
Fred, now tell me the truth. You didn't hold up that express office. A man doesn't come back to town to marry a girl and then pull a thing like that.
Look, I'm a vicious character with an insane temper. I killed a man once before. You heard that?
That was 3 years ago in a drunken brawl. Fred, what are you holding back for? I want to help you.
There's nothing you can do.
It's as if you're tying that rope yourself. Now tell me the truth. I promised Jenny that I...
Listen, Doc. About Jenny. You do me a favor, will you?
What is it?
You look after her for me, will you? I mean... After her. She's only a kid. 17. Her father hit her with a bridle strap when he found she came here. Look after her for me.
All right, Fred. You're sure you haven't got anything to tell me?
No.
Okay. Jared?
Okay, Doc.
I'll see you again, Fred.
You want out, Doc?
Bye, Fred.
Hey, Doc. Doc, one thing.
Yes?
Just as a favor to you, I'm going to leave my body for science.
I'll see you again, Fred.
Now, Doc, is there perhaps a case of mumps or chicken pox in the hills?
Pablo, I still don't like it. Fred Garth isn't telling the truth. I don't know whether he killed that man or not, but I do know we haven't got the whole story.
It bothers you, eh?
Look, I'm the coroner. I'm going to have to watch that hanging, cut that boy down, and pronounce him dead.
Doc, you don't believe the boy did it,
eh? I'm not sure. And I don't like to be unsure about a thing like that.
See. How can you be sure?
I don't know.
Where are we going now, Doc?
Jenny Wheelock told me Fred's mother lives in Adobe Hut out past the Mesa Verde. I want to talk to her. I want to see if I can find out why Fred Garth wants to die.
Mm-hmm. That's right, civil of you, Doc. Pumping for me.
That's all right. Yeah, enough.
It's enough water for this house. Don't use it much except to wash clothes or maybe make coffee.
Won't you sit down, Mrs. Garth? I want to talk to you.
Might as well stay out here. Old man's sleeping it off inside.
Fred's father?
Yeah. He got a skinful at Silver Eagle last night. The boys was buying for him because his son was going to hang. He come home and said it's the first time he ever got any pleasure out in his children. Then he passed out.
Mrs. Garth, I've been trying to help Fred.
Why?
Well, I think he's hiding something. He came back to Frenchman's Ford to get married. Did you know that?
Hmm?
But he won't defend himself. He just gives up.
Surprising custody. He hates himself. Well, he comes by it natural, just like his pa. Peas in a pod. Mean. Clear through.
But he's your son.
He's a Garth. They're all pies and mean. I ought to know. I live with his pa since the war. He was an officer then. Oh, you should have seen him riding off with a yellow sash around his middle. For all his sousing and rioting, he's still got his figure.
Did you see Fred the day he came home?
For a spell. He come riding up without a by your leave, and first thing he was in an argument with his pa. The old man wanted a dollar for whiskey, and Fred told him he was saving his money for something else.
They fought?
Right in the dooryard. I just sat watching, not caring one way or the other. Garth men, both of them. Fred come in after and lay down. His pa rode off. You figure they'll hang my Fred?
Maybe.
Born to hang. They all are. Well, now, excuse me, Doc. I got to lug this water in for my washing.
Hey, boy, listen to me. I was over at the railhead yesterday. Fella comes into the railroad office with a telegram to send.
Well, now, ain't that big news?
You listen to me. He was sent there by Doc Sixcott. Doc sent the telegram to territorial governor. He asked for a stay of execution. He don't want Fred Garth to hang tomorrow. He asked for a 6 month stay. Jared, we ain't gonna wait those 6 months.
I'm telling you, I'll lame the first one who comes through that door.
He's bluffed. Come on, boys. All right, grab his gun.
Let go of me.
Give me the keys, Jared.
Jared.
Let's stop.
All right. Out of my way here.
Let him in, boys. Let him in.
What are you fools up to?
Doc, we like you, all right.
Let go of Jared.
But you shouldn't try to get a killer off the hook.
If you'll listen to me,
you shouldn't have gone and sent that telegram to the governor.
But he didn't do it.
Will you listen? Listen to me.
You stick to pills and powders, Doc. Get his gun, Jack.
Hey, now, let's go.
Now, stand away, Doc. We're going to take him.
Benton, you're crazy. It's murder. You've got to listen to me.
I heard Judge Passman hang by the neck till he's dead. That's all we're going to do.
Benton, I won't let you
what
do it.
What are you going to do about it, Doc?
This?
Hold him. Grab him. Don't let him get a gun.
Jared.
Hold him.
You killed him, Benton.
Just knocked him cold in the pistol butt. Come on now, boys. We got work to do.
Come on, Benton. It's getting hot in this.
Wait a minute. Doc. Come on, Doc. Snap out of it. You got to pronounce him dead.
Dead? Oh, it's over?
Oh, not quite. We got him on that pinapony of his with the rope run over the hay pulley up there. We brought you along to make it humane.
Here, let me up. Benton, you can't do it. You've got to wait. Now, listen, all of you. Listen to me. You've got to wait.
Doc, you want to go bye-bye again? You got anything to say, Garth?
Go on. Get it over with.
Okay, then.
Midnight. Now, wait. He's coming.
It's the peddler.
Peddler, over here.
Doc, I got him.
What is it?
You wouldn't listen. When I heard you fools rushing the jail, I I sent Pablo out to the Mesa Verde.
I brought him, Doc, tied on my pack horse like a sack of wheat.
Cut him loose, Pablo.
Right away, Doc. There.
Hey, that's old man Guard.
What's the matter with her?
Drunk as a coot.
There's your killer. When Fred came home that night, the old man took his horse and saddle and rode into town. He wanted money for whiskey, so he went to the express office to help himself.
I found the money under his belt. It was him, all right.
Now, get that rope off, Fred.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Benton, you almost hanged an innocent man.
Well, ain't my fault. Why didn't he say something?
He wouldn't turn in his father to be hanged. Well, Fred?
You're an old woman, Doc, sticking your nose where it isn't wanted.
Yeah, sure, you bet.
Hey, boys, you heard Doc. We got the real killer right here. The rope's all ready. What are we waiting for?
You're waiting for a trial, Benton. A legal trial.
Another 6 months? Not on your life.
Benton, I owe you something, and this is as good a time as any. Pablo, help me drag him down to the jail.
Pleasure.
Maybe Jared can spare Fred's cell.
What do you mean? I ain't done nothing.
Attempted murder, resisting an officer, contempt of court. I imagine Judge Passman can figure out a few more charges.
Yeah, all right, come on, let's get the doctor.
Ain't done nothing. You can't do this.
Come on, Pablo. Let's go.
Doc, wait a minute.
You all right, Fred?
Sure, I guess so. He wasn't worth it, the old buzzard, my father. You understand, huh?
Sure. I understand, Fred. You can do me a favor now.
I can? What?
Take care of Jenny. Good care.
Sure, Doc. I'm going to see her right now. I ride an old pain. I lead an old Dan. Bound to Montana for to throw the hula hand. They feed in the coolies. They water in the draw. Their tails are all matted. Their backs.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Doc Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by Ernest Kinoy and heard in the cast were John Thomas as Fred, Pat Hosley as Ginny, Virginia Payne as the mother, Roger DeCoven as Benton, William Keane as Jared, and Edgar Staley as Judge Passman.
Dr. Six Gun on Tuned to Yesterday from October 21st, 1954 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday with your host Mark Levenier. And now an episode of Gunsmoke that was repurposed for the television version about 3 years after this broadcast on June 12th, 1954. William Conrad stars as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon in The Cover-Up from CBS.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Get
Hey.
Hello, Matt. I didn't see you sitting there.
Well, I know. Sit down. There you are.
How do you like my outfit?
Well, I never saw you in a riding skirt before, Kitty. You've been riding side saddle?
For the first time in my life. At least I know how to do it now, in case I'm ever called on to be a lady.
Well, I know ladies who don't always ride side saddle.
Sure. Like that female wildcat down in the panhandle you told me about. What's her name?
Oh, Bellstar.
I bet she never rides side saddle.
Well, Bellstar's a lady, though. And everybody treats her like one. Even though she has to use a six-gun to make them do it.
Maybe I ought to try that.
Yeah, it takes more than a six-gun to make a lady, Kitty.
That's a funny way of putting it.
Well, that isn't what I meant.
Mr. Dillon? Hello, Miss Kitty.
How are you, Chester?
Hey, I just come to Longhorn there, Mr. Dillon.
What, trouble, Chester?
Not yet, but there's going to be as soon as Art Long gets to town.
Art Long? Well, he's always been a peaceful man.
Isn't he one of those nesters out near Sam Baxton's ranch?
That's him, but it's another one of them nesters that's talking up trouble. A fellow named Hoffer. He's saying he's going to shoot Art Long on sight.
Well, is he drunk, Chester?
Yes, sir, some.
Armed?
He's got the biggest old cavalry pistol you ever saw stuck right in his belt.
Real farmer style.
Well, that may be true, Kitty, but those horse pistols go off sometimes.
Well, bye later, Matt.
Yeah, I will if I can, Kitty. Go on.
He sure sounds like he means it, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, why does he want to kill Long, Chester?
Well, sir, he didn't say.
Yeah, maybe he's just drunk and wants to shoot somebody.
No,
anybody.
Sir. No, sirree. Hoffer's pretty certain about who it's going to be.
All right, Chester. Don't stand too close in case he puts up a fight, huh?
No, sir.
And all you bully grubs, shut up and listen to me. When Art Long gets here, you're going to see his blood all over the floor. Right there. Or maybe right over there. I don't know just where yet.
Your name, Hoffer?
Barnaby Hoffer.
What's the trouble between you and Art Long?
You friend of his?
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Because if you're a real good friend, I might take it to mind to shoot you, too.
I'm a U.S. Marshal, mister, and you're not going to shoot anybody.
Oh, Marshal Dillon, huh?
I'll take that pistol, Hoffer.
Okay, Marshal. Take it.
All right. Now tell me what this is all about.
I don't need no pistol.
He's got a knife, Mr. Dillon!
Drop it, Hoffer. I said drop it!
Ooh. No! I'm gonna cut through again. Give me that knife back!
You're kind of hard to convince, Hoffer.
Did he cut you bad, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, he opened up my arm a little bit, Chester. I better go see Doc. You throw him in jail.
Yes, sir, I sure will.
There's a saying that it's the gentle horse that's most dangerous. You don't watch him close enough. And so with Barnaby Hoffer, a farmer who hands you his old horse pistol and then snatches an 8-inch knife from the back of his belt. Well, Doc took a few stitches in my arm and told me to come back in a couple of days. And I did. And it looked pretty good by then. At least I thought so.
You're going to have to watch that cut, Matt. There might be an infection in it.
What are you talking about, Doc? Looks as clean as rain to me.
Well, how do you know what that idiot's been using his knife on? Probably sticks hogs with it all day and uses it to clean his boots at night.
Yeah, sure, but my arm bled a lot. I got it clean. That and all the turpentine you poured into it.
Hurt, didn't it?
You know, someday, Doc, if my luck holds, I'm going to get a chance to work on you.
Oh, no, you know, I'd sooner die. I'd sooner lie in the snow and bleed to death all alone without anybody around even to bury me.
How did you get in the snow, Doc?
Oh, I just hate snow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, come in. Oh, hello, Chester.
Doc, Mr. Dillon, Art Long's been killed.
What?
Yes, sir. A cowboy just came into the office and told me. Said he rode by his cabin this afternoon and he found him there laying right in the door. Barnaby Hoffer must have done it.
Hoffer? I thought you had him in jail, Matt.
Well, I turned him loose next morning, Doc. He seemed calm enough then. I guess I made a mistake.
I guess you did, all right. Maybe we shouldn't have stopped to bury Art long. Hoffer may be a long way from here by now.
We couldn't leave him lying there, Chester.
No, sir, I guess not. Poor fella.
Well, there's Hoffer's cabin.
Yes, sir. Hey, we've done pretty good at that. It's hardly past daylight.
Looks like his door's open.
Yeah, then he must be inside. He wouldn't go off and leave his door open.
No. Hey, wait a minute. Look over there, Chester.
Why, it's him. Oh, he looks dead.
Yeah, come on.
He's been shot, Mr. Dillon. With a shotgun. Just like Art Long.
Well, he's still breathing. Hoffer? Hoffer. Marshal Dillon, Hoffer. Hey.
Marshal. Huh? I'm tore all apart. Took a load of buckshot when I opened the door.
Who did it, Hoffer? Did you see him?
Sam Baxton. He did it.
Sam Baxton?
Who killed Art Long, Hoffer? Did you?
Art Long. Is he dead?
Yeah.
Both of us dead. I don't want to die.
Yeah, it's a wonder he lived this long.
Gosh, Mr. Dillon, I just can't believe Sam Baxton done this.
Why? Just because Baxton's a big rancher and pretty respectable? He's also a mean old devil. And these men are nesters. Come on, let's go find him, Chester. Hello? Anybody home?
Why, it's Marshal Dillon and Chester.
Hello, Miss
Baxter. Hello, ma'am.
Well, don't stand right out there. Come on in, sit a while.
Thank you, ma'am.
I got two pots of coffee on the stove.
Well, we don't want to bother you none, Miss Baxton.
Bother? Well, I love company. And besides, you don't get out this way very often, Marshal. You're just going to have to stay and eat dinner with us. Sam? Sam, we got company.
Hello, Baxton.
What are you doing here, Marshal?
Why, Sam, that's no way to...
Shut up, woman.
Sam, don't talk like that.
Want to get whooped instead? Well, do you?
No, Sam.
I asked what you're doing here, Marshal.
Yeah, I heard you.
Well, say it out. We're busy around here.
You know Art Long and Barnaby Hoffer?
I know them. Dirty nesters.
Well, they're both dead, Baxter.
Good.
Oh, no.
They both got killed the same way.
What do I care how they got killed, as long as they're dead?
I'm going to tell you anyway, Baxter. Each of them, when he came out of his cabin first thing in the morning, was killed by a man waiting outside with a shotgun.
Oh, you know all that. You weren't there.
Barnaby Hoffer was still alive when we got there, Baxter.
Still alive?
He died pretty quick, but before he did, he told me who shot him.
Did he? And who was that, Marshal?
You.
Oh, no. No, it couldn't be.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but that's what he said. I'm going to have to arrest you, Baxter.
Arrest me? On the word of a dead sodbuster? Who's going to believe it?
The court will decide that, but it's enough evidence to hold you on.
What makes you think Hoffer wasn't lying? He knew he was going to die, and it was his last chance to get me in trouble. That's what happened.
You'll get a trial, Baxton. You can defend yourself there. Right now, you're going to jail. I I'm charging you with two murders.
But Art Long was dead. He didn't tell you nothing, Marshal.
He and Hoffer were killed exactly the same way, ma'am. Looks like one man killed both of them.
Come on, Marshal. If we're going to jail, let's go. And you stay out here, woman. I don't want you running into Dodge all the time I'm there.
All right, Sam.
And don't go talking your fool head off to everybody about this either.
I won't.
When we get this business over with, Marshal, I'm going to give you a lot of trouble. You're going to wish you never come near me.
As soon as I get Kitty fixed up here.
Oh, Matt.
Kitty? What's that, a black eye? What happened?
It's none of your business. How's your arm, Matt?
His arm's all right, Kitty. Just comes up here to bother me.
But somebody's got to keep you from sleeping all day, Doc.
Oh, don't forget I'm making pretty good money off that cut of yours. Yeah, Kitty.
Thanks, Doc. Matt, has Sam Baxton confessed yet?
No, I've spent 2 days trying to get him to, but he won't admit a thing.
Well, if he does hang, there won't be many tears shed around here.
Yeah, there's Ms. Baxton, Kitty. For some reason, she really loves him.
Oh, that poor woman. I've seen how he treats her.
Too bad she hasn't got a son to stand up for. Some kid about 8 feet tall.
Well, he'd be about 8 feet tall if he was Sam Baxton's. Well, that man's tall as a tree.
Is he still wearing that white hat of his?
Yeah, the only time he takes it off is when he sleeps, Kitty. Then he puts it over his face.
Be like sleeping under a horse blanket. No wonder he's so ornery all the time.
Oh, come in. Well, come on in, friend.
The fellow downstairs told me I could find the marshal up here.
Well, what can I do for you, mister?
Oh, I never been in Dodge City before, Marshal. I ain't even been in Kansas very long. I'm riding south. I got tired of that cold up north.
Well, you're welcome here.
I'm going on south. Well, what I come to tell you was, there's a little creek runs out of our Kansas about 20 miles from here. A fella told me it's called Ginger Creek.
Yeah, that's up near Sam Baxton's ranch, man.
That's on his ranch, according to him. What about Ginger Creek, mister?
Some fella's got a little cabin there with a corral out in back. I don't know his name.
Now, that'll be Jim Fowler. He's been homesteading there for about a year.
No more he ain't.
Well, what do you mean?
I buried him myself early this morning. I come by and found him laying in the door of his cabin. He was dead, but still bleeding. Somebody's tore him plumb in two with a shotgun.
Chester?
Out there in the street. It's Miss Baxton.
Huh?
She's coming to buggy.
News travels fast, doesn't it?
You gonna turn old Sam Baxton loose?
Well, I don't have much to hold him on now, Chester.
No, sir. Not with him right here in jail, and that last fellow was killed the same way as Art Long and Hoffer. Shucks, I guess he was telling the truth after all.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Well, I'm glad for Miss Baxton anyway. I'll open the door for her. Well, morning, Miss Baxton.
Hello, Chester.
Come right on in, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hello, Miss Baxton.
Marshal Dillon, I'm sure glad to see you this time.
Well, I hope there aren't any hard feelings, ma'am.
Oh, you was only doing your duty. I respect that. Where's Sam?
The cells are out back.
Oh, you haven't turned him loose yet?
No, ma'am.
It's too bad about Jim Fowler Marshall being killed that way. But it was just like the others, wasn't it? The same man killed all three of them. And Sam was right here in jail.
Well, I was just saying to Chester, news sure travels fast. How'd you hear about it so soon? It just happened this morning.
What? One of our cowboys rode by there about noon, Marshall. He comes straight to the ranch and told me about it. Would you let Sam out now? I'd like to get started for home.
I'm sorry, Miss Baxton, but I'm going to have to hold him for a while yet.
But why, Marshal? What for?
Well, Mr. Dillon, a few minutes ago, you said yourself...
I said that he wasn't clear of this yet, Chester. You don't listen very close, Chester.
No, sir, I sure don't.
Marshal, you said that whoever killed Hoffer killed Art Long, since they was both shot the very same way.
Well, I know I did, ma'am, but I've been thinking a lot about it, and I'm just not sure yet.
Even with the same thing happening again this morning?
Well, I got to admit, that does make a difference, all right. I suppose if one more man got killed like that, I wouldn't have any case at all against your husband. But the way things are now, I got to hold him, ma'am. I'm sorry about it.
Well, it's like I said, Marshal. You got to do your duty.
Yes, ma'am. If there's anything I can do for you, Miss Baxton...
Thank you, Marshal, but I'm all right. Can I see Sam before I start back?
Of course, ma'am. He's right through that door.
I can't stay long.
Chester.
Hmm?
You've been up on Ginger Creek since I have.
Yes, sir.
Isn't there another nester there not far from Jim Fowler's cabin?
A couple of miles beyond, there's one. I don't know his name, though.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Chester, go get our horses, huh? And bring a horse for Sam Baxton, too. He's going to go up there with us.
I don't know what you're up to, Marshal, but I'd rather be in jail than spending the night in this place.
It's a nice little cabin he's got here, Baxton.
Yeah, you improved it some when you sent him into Dodge for the night.
It's almost daylight, Mr. Dillon.
Okay, Chester. Well, I'm going to build a fire now and let whoever's waiting outside think his victim's just got up.
What makes you think he'll be there this morning, Marshal?
But if he isn't, we'll stay here till he does come.
Mr. Dillon, you want me to pull the door open when you're ready?
I'll tell you when, Chester. And after he gets off a couple of blasts with that shotgun, we'll go out and try to take him alive. All right, Baxton, you get over there by Chester. And I'll try to get this thing started. All we're going to need is a little smoke going up through the chimney.
Maybe we can come back when it's all over and cook a little breakfast, Mr. Dillon.
Now, we'll worry about breakfast later, Chester.
Yes, sir. You stop that.
What?
Wait, he's got my gun, Mr. Dillon.
You're standing in my way, Chester. Move!
Oh, he got outside.
Come on. Drop that gun, Baxton.
I got him, Marshal. I hit him both times.
Drop it, I said.
All right. I was only helping out, Marshal. Look, he's laying right out there.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon. I never thought he'd try nothing like that.
Walk ahead of me, Baxter.
Oh, sure. Oh, Marshal, look, it's my wife.
Yeah. She's dead.
I didn't know who it was, Marshal. I couldn't see who it was. How'd I know she was doing this? Going around killing people.
Your wife shot Jim Fowler yesterday morning.
I didn't know she hated Nestor that much. Well, it's kind of hard to believe, Marshal.
Yeah.
But I guess you never know about a woman.
Well, I can tell you about her, Baxton. Fowler's the only man she killed, and she didn't kill Fowler because she hated him. She did it because she loved you.
What are you talking about?
She was trying to cover up for you.
No, wait a minute.
She almost did it, too. She almost kept you from hanging. So she claimed one of your cowhands saw Fowler's body when I knew he'd already been buried. I had all the evidence I needed on her right then, Baxton. And the biggest mistake you made was killing her.
I didn't know it was her.
You knew. Well, what you forgot was that she'd have confessed to killing Long and Hoffer.
Why would she?
Because she loved you. Besides, she couldn't have been punished any more for killing three men than for killing one.
You got it all figured out, ain't you, Marshal?
Yeah. Yeah, everything. Everything except how she could love a man like you. But then it's like you say. You never know about a woman.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Helen Cleve, Paul Savage, and Clayton Post. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Roy Rowan speaking. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
Gene Autry stops a lynching of an innocent man and tracks down the real killer on tomorrow's Gene Autry Show.
Gunsmoke on Tuned to Yesterday from June 12th, 1954 on CBS. And that closes this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.